This episode of Cider Chat is sponsored by the 3rd Annual New York International Cider Competition, where the judges are retail trade buyers who evaluate commercial ciders based upon category and price point. Submission forms for the February 9th, 2020 competition held in New York City can be found online at nyicidercompetition.com.
Hi, this is Dana Bushhouse of Crooked City Cider Tap House, located in Jack London Square in Oakland, California, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And Dana Bushhouse is our featured chat in this week's episode, number 206. Woohoo! This is a perfect episode to ring in the new year, 2020. We're entering a new decade, and it's all about like new beginnings and moving forward, all about cider going up, isn't it, on this here podcast. We'll be coming up on the featured chat shortly, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. I began this here episode by telling you about the annual, well, it's the 3rd annual New York International Cider Competition, and I just think it's like the best bang for your buck if you're a commercial maker to put your cider in a competition that's going to be giving you feedback on its commercial value in the market from the people who are the buyers, the retail people out there who decide whether or not your cider or someone else's is going to be going on a shelf. So check out that competition. It's coming up really soon, February 9th in New York City. So this is a short window of time now that you have to be able to ship your cider into the competition. Get all the details at nyicidercompetition.com, or you could go to the show notes for this here episode 206. That Ciderville is my first infomercial of this podcast, but I have a couple more, of course, because there's just so much happening. I mean, this podcast goes live on Wednesday, January 1st of 2020. I am just so digging that number, 2020. I call it Zozo. I don't know why, but I do. You might have your own name for it. I hope it's a good one. But anywho, we are entering a new decade, and it's just kind of like a clean slate in a way. But that doesn't take away all the work that has been going up to this particular year, 2020. And man, there has been a lot of work going on, primarily for the upcoming United States Association of Cider Makers annual trade conference called CiderCon. And yes, indeed, it is taking place in Oakland, California. And you should know, speaking of Crooked City Cider House, it's right down the road from the Marriott where everybody's going to be hanging and where CiderCon takes place. It's kind of like down the hill, because Oakland is on one side of the bay, San Francisco is on the other side. And every single night of CiderCon, there is going to be an event happening at Crooked City Cider House. And it's a really spacious place. I know that Dana is jazzed up for it. So you want to definitely be making your way there. I know I will be there. And it's right up the road from Jack London Square. I'm going to be talking about a lot of these places on an upcoming episode going to CiderCon that will give you my tips of that area, having visited Oakland in June of 2019, only a couple months ago, really, preparing for CiderCon. So a lot's going on. And I don't know, do you feel like I'm just kind of like running full hilt at all measures? So CiderCon's happening. That means that if you haven't gotten your tickets, the early bird special via the membership portal for CiderCon, the early bird special tickets end on January 6th. And they have this kind of crazy cool giveaway. It's a cider case, like a rolly that you'd like put on a plane, but you'd of course have to check it because this particular rolly can hold up to, let me see, it's saying 8 750 ml bottles of cider. So hopefully, if you're a member of the United States Association of Cider Makers, you got the little email like I did saying all the little rules for the giveaway, like you have to register by January 6th to get into this contest, and you have to reserve your hotel room at the Oakland Marriott by January 6th. And that's kind of like a no-brainer to stay at the hotel. I know I say this every single year, and you know how I love repeating myself. It's so true. I mean, this is where it's all happening. Why would you want to like kind of stay off grounds and have to like spend all the time commuting, sitting at stoplights while everybody else is hanging out, drinking cider and making connections? And there's always typically like a really fun party happening at the hotel. I won't say more about that. I'm sure you'll hunt it down or tag along with me as we go hunting for fun parties on the evenings of CiderCon. So anyways, this cider case giveaway, I do have to stop here. I just want to say, I'm just kind of giddy with joy because of CiderCon. I'll be coming early to that and leading a tour down to Parajo Valley, which is much like my Monterey Bay cider tour that I led last April, seeing all the good friends down there, Tanuki Cider, Santa Cruz Cider Company, Jake Mann at Five Mile Orchard, you know, multi-generational apple farmer, also seeing Rider Ranch. They're really like crazy Newtown Pippins that they have there doing a vertical tasting. Also Serenventi Ranch are going to be, that's our first stop of the day. And after we make our rounds in Santa Cruz County, Parajo Valley, then we head back to Oakland and stop at Cider Junction, which is in San Jose. And I'm sure I will probably break out in "Do You Know the Way" to San Jose. There's other tours to go on too, and they're all going to be great. No doubt, they're all going to be great. So that's CiderCon. And getting back to this giveaway, definitely check out your emails. My email came in, I don't know, a couple days ago about this. And if you haven't gotten your tickets, well, this is a really good incentive. You have to do a couple things like post to Instagram that you're excited to attend CiderCon, which, look, if you are in the cider industry and you don't kind of post stuff on your social media saying that you're stoked that the national conference is taking place, then get off your arse and do so, because that's what it's about, is lifting everybody up. You know, it's, you don't look cool if you just kind of sit and you don't say that. So come on, tweet, post, social media, use it. Everybody wants to hear how the cider makers are all jazzed up to get together. I mean, you know, create the party that everybody wants to attend. That's how the way it goes. All right, I'm gonna step away, take a little pause here, try to slow down as I'm roaring into 2020, and come back with a wee bit more news from out and about in Ciderville. Last week, in case you didn't know, there was a release of an episode. I didn't post it as a podcast. It is actually at the Cider Chat YouTube channel. And actually, all the episodes that I release also go out to the YouTube channel too, because people like to listen to music and podcasts that way. But I also release videos there. And this one was a video recording I took at the 25th annual Franklin County Cider Days that just took place in November. And it is the Founders Panel. It was a special panel that we've never done before, with four people talking about the history of Cider Days. This, you should know, is like the oldest and largest cider event in the U.S. And what I really liked about this particular video is that it provides some really cool little trivia pieces that I didn't quite know. You're hearing from Judith Maloney of West County Cider, and she is just like, she's the Queen Pomona. She was, along with her husband Terry, who we lost in 2010, it's just an amazing person and just an absolute inspiration. So hearing her speak and some of her wisdom is really fun. And of course, Paul Carenti, the author of The Art of Cider Making, the first cider making book I ever owned. It's now out of print, so you'd have to kind of hunt it down. So that's pretty neat. And that episode is still waiting to be heard by you if you haven't checked it out. And I really want to encourage you to subscribe to the Cider Chat YouTube channel, which helps me kind of bring the channel up, gives it more visibility. And I will be releasing more videos as we're going into 2020, which is always a lot of fun, right? There's so much to be done out and about in Ciderville.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
So CiderCon is taking place the last week of January. Then coming up on February 9th is the New York International Cider Competition. And then on February 13th, 14th, and 15th is Cider Expo, taking place in Normandy, France. This is the first ever Cider Expo. It's been in the works for a couple of years, and they have gotten it together. It's going to take place in the city of Caen. That's spelled C-A-E-N. You might also say it as Caen. I'm not sure. It's kind of like the conch shell, those large shells that are, you know, seaside shops will be selling. Try to say that three times fast. Seaside shops will be selling the conch shell. And it's a beautiful, walkable city. And there's a lot of people coming from all over the place. In fact, I heard from Maxim from Russia. He and a contingent of Russian makers are going. I think there's going to be like 15 Russians there. They invited me to stay at the hotel that they're going to be at. And I know that would have been a ton of fun. And I was kind of sad to decline that. I know, I'll catch up with them. But it turns out Domaine DuPont is sponsoring me to come over. And I have the immense privilege. I'm just over the moon for this. I'm going to be hanging out with Etienne DuPont and also the distiller at Domaine DuPont. So there'll be more about that as it goes forward. But, you know, when you are in the intimacy of an apartment hanging out, it's just going to be crazy, crazy fun. Oh my God. And be able to bring you some amazing stories from that. Obviously, I have a big passion for France. I've fallen in love with that area. I'm going to be reaching down into Brittany too on this trip. And so that's a little bit of the update there, but that also coincides with letting you know about the Totally Cider Tours for 2020. I'm actually going to be looking at holding the next Normandy Cider Tour to coincide with the next Cider Expo. So stay tuned for that. If you've been thinking about going to Normandy with me, it does not look like I'll be going there this fall. So it'll be probably more like in February of 2021, because I think they're going to be doing it around the same time. But meanwhile, the next international tour I am looking at and now working on is a UK cider tour for 2020. I've been contacted by a number of people who are really jazzed up to go to the UK. So that has given me enough of a complement of people to now get the ball rolling. So if you'd like to get in on that cider tour to the UK, this is going out to West Country. We'd most likely be meeting up in Bristol, a beautiful city, the city of like Wallace and Gromit, claymation characters. There's cider happening there, and be going out from that direction. I tell you, it's the way to go in the UK on a tour, because you want to be able to imbibe and enjoy the cider and not have to worry about drinking and driving. Certainly when you're driving on the opposite side of the road that you're normally used to, doing a cider tour is a good way to go. And so send me an email, Ria, that's spelled R-I-A, at ciderchat.com if you'd like to get on that list, looking at late summer, around the August time. So more on that coming up as I kind of start screwing down some of the particulars on that. But I'm pretty stoked about that, and something to look forward to. That's about it now for the news out and about in Ciderville. When we return, we're going to go to our feature chat with Dana Bushhouse of A Crooked City Cider, based in Oakland, California. As As you enter the Crooked City Cider Tap House, you cannot miss on the left side wall two giant mugshots. One of Peter and the other of John, Dana's uncles, who back in the day were busted for bootlegging. Now, I know some people get their inspirations from one relative or another, but in this case, well, the history goes back to alcohol one way or the other. And being the entrepreneur that Dana has been since she first started selling out on her parents' lawn, this and that, or lemonade, her entrepreneurial spirit and her history within her family to kind of make ends meet and do what you must is part of the inspiration and why she's at Crooked City Cider Tap House today. She'll tell her story best, so let's all grab a glass and join this chat with the owner and proprietor of Crooked City Cider Tap House in Oakland, California, Dana Bushhouse.
Always been an entrepreneur at heart. You know, as a kid, I was selling toys out of my basement and having yard sales. I mean, I put quotations around yard sales. I would just take stuff onto my front lawn and sit out there and sell stuff, did lemonade stands, raised money for animal shelters. So knew that someday I had to do my own business. Went gluten-free, was working at a different animal nonprofit. So basically, I worked at the original nonprofit that I moved out here for 2.5 years. Then I tried to start a dog daycare for about 1.5 to 2 years and did ad hoc jobs. And then finally needed a consistent paycheck again, so went back into animal rescue and simultaneously was going through that gluten-free change and started making cider in my basement. In Oakland, but I wasn't making it as a passion, as a, you know, let me see what I can do. It was, I am starting a company. And so from the day that I was fermenting, I already had, you know, the name of my company. I had started the process of getting a logo. And so the way that it worked is my first batch was a 5-gallon batch. And I had signed up for Peter Mitchell's class and after a 5-gallon batch turned out great, I immediately bought 5 more fermenters. So I was doing 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30-gallon batches. So I had to buy 2 chest freezers, one for fermenting, one for carbonating. I had to buy all the soda kegs. Like, so my boyfriend now wants to start making cider, and he's like, can I have your equipment? And I've sold it and pieced it out. And I'm like, you're going to need like $5,000 to get just to do it if you want to do it the way that I did it.
So you were doing that with totally the intention of going commercial, right? So right from the get-go, you got turned on to cider, gluten-free, and you thought, I'm not going to do beer. I'm going to go straight in the cider.
Because there just wasn't cider that I enjoyed drinking. And so I thought there had to be a better way. Uh-huh. So started making it in my house, built a 6-tap kegerator, and started having parties that I literally... You know, I had a company on Facebook. I had applied for my LLC status. I wasn't, you know, legally producing. I wasn't, you know, trying to follow in my uncle's footsteps. So I absolutely wasn't selling or distributing it.
Right.
But I was making it for home consumption and then would host parties once a month that I would put out to the public on Facebook, on East Bay Express, which is a local newspaper. And literally people that I didn't know from all over Oakland would show up in our house very confused because, you know, they're coming to Crooked City, but they're in a basement. And we would send out the address the day of to responders. So it was very much like a speakeasy.
So this was kind of like your test market.
Exactly. Exactly. We would, every recipe that I would put out, we'd put on the wall of my basement, there would be voting where people could vote for their favorites. They could vote for, did they like the name? Did they want to change the name? that's how we ended up with our final logo, is people would kind of sit and draw and sketch and what they liked, what they didn't like. I still have some of those documents, which I think are fascinating, and we're going to try to actually be displaying them here. Not as cool as my uncle's FBI files, but, you know, they tell our story. And I think that's one thing that is really important to me, is telling our story. You know, there's some of it told here. Our old website told it full out. But now that we've switched to Tap House, the story isn't really as clear to people. And I think, you know, getting more respect, getting more people in here to understand what we're trying to do, telling that story is super important. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out your model here. I mean, you know, you have a whole bunch of taps. I know you have guest ciders.
Yep.
And you have your own ciders.
Yep.
So let's first talk about your own ciders in terms of where you sourcing the juice, and you're making it on site here?
No. So that's a, it's like a PTSD question. So
because it's so intense.
Well, and we've gone through some changes, which you may or may not know. So I'll dive into that.
Right, cool. Yeah.
So from the basement production, moved to a small production space in Berkeley, where I did my first 275 gallon batch, and quickly realized that I needed more space and I needed more equipment. So I started working on loans and finding a new space, ultimately landed an awesome co-op type space in Uptown Oakland that had a tasting room that I was able to sell ciders at. So went from 275 gallon batches, was able to secure a loan, bought 3 900 gallon fermenters, 900 gallon bright tank, 300 and
you
some kegs.
Use equipment that you're like sourcing out?
No, not used. Went full on. Went new. Yeah, we couldn't.
You're serious. So I love it.
Couldn't find the used equipment that I wanted at the price that I wanted. So I was able to get new equipment, almost the same as high quality used. So went full in, you know, glycol unit, kegs, was able to do a Kiva fundraiser where I raised $10,000 for an interest-free loan from my community and was able to buy a full-size shipping container that we converted with CoolBots to be my keg storage. So the plan, you know, was still from day one was to do that tap house, because I really like connecting with people and letting them see all the things that cider could be. Mm-hmm. And Crooked City Cider at that point, I was only doing dry ciders. So, you know, we were missing the consumers that wanted the sweet stuff, but it was really great going to events, and still to this day, you know, people, is it dry? Yeah. But is it actually dry? And came up with kind of a slogan of just put it in your mouth. Because so many people, like 5 years ago, and still to this day, they think cider is this sweet, syrupy thing. And yes, it can be, but it doesn't have to be. And so it's, if I can just get cider into people's mouths, you know, put them through a flight, 9 times out of 10, we can convert somebody to a cider drinker. Mm-hmm. So we're full on doing that with production. We're distributing, by we, I mean me. I'm still a one-woman show. Distributing all around the East Bay, signed up with a distributor that went terribly wrong. Unfortunately, a little over 6 months ago, the spot where I was producing came to me, essentially my landlord, and said, we had an offer from a winery that's willing to pay us X number of dollars per month, so you need to get out. And there was no way for me to even counter offer. I mean, the money that they were being offered, I understood why they were doing it. Because I had a very sweet deal there, and I wouldn't have been able to be where I am today without that opportunity. So I'm thankful. This is where the PTSD comes into.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you need to get out. Like, you have a month.
Dang.
And I had 3 tanks full of cider.
Oh.
Not enough empties to keg.
Oh, boy.
Looked into, you know, what are my options here? Like, looked into finding a new space. But, you know, I had already signed a lease on this bar. So every penny I had was going into this, my loan.
This bar location here. So this was your production site where you're making this.
Yeah, the production site.
The original production site.
Is where I was.
And so you knew right from the get-go that you were going to be off-site producing and bringing it here.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So started looking at new spaces, found tons of spaces, but ultimately I didn't have the money, you know, the amount that it would take to move the equipment, to do a build-out that I was, you know, simultaneously doing a bar build-out. Ultimately the loan I had for the bar wasn't coming through at that point either. and I was in the middle of a WeFunder. I think the WeFunder had started or ended right before this. So I was doing a crowd raise and looking at, you know, I need to keep producing. And so ultimately I went with the worst decision, but it was the only one that I could see as feasible, which was to literally just shut everything down and fire sale all my equipment. I did save my kegs. I did save my keg washer. I did save my shipping container, but all of the equipment that was less than 2 years old, my glycol, my 5 stainless tanks, fire sold them. And people are like, well, what'd you do with all that money? And I sold them to friends who were making payments to me. So I didn't even get, you know, a check that could have covered other costs. So
the reason why it's called a fire sale.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like you're going to be raking in the money.
Yeah. And people have asked, why didn't you just move your tanks into storage? And I was just at a place where I couldn't fathom moving equipment, paying rent in a storage place with no end in sight. You know, that would just hemorrhaging more money.
Wow. How brave of you. How did you sustain yourself during that
I literally think it is having worked in nonprofits and, you know, I volunteered for AmeriCorps after college and literally lived off of nothing. My parents instilled in me a very hard work ethic. You know, as soon as I could, like I said, I was selling toys to people. I started babysitting when I was 11, got my first real job the day that I turned 15, you know, got my worker's permit. And I've always understood that it's important to save and to take care of yourself. And I also clearly know how to live very frugally. So throughout my life, I've saved money. And had I not done that, I wouldn't be here. So it is very difficult. And even more so now, because when I was doing cider production, I wasn't paying myself, but the sales were covering my expenses because it was just me. And I was able with production to work as a nanny and a babysitter and do odd jobs.
So you're doing that at the same time that you're dealing with these extreme crises.
Exactly.
Of the business. I mean, going in with a happy face into your other gigs to caretake other people.
Yep.
And as you're seeing your own baby.
Yep.
Your dream and your vision.
Literally
like
collapse.
It's going to tank.
Yeah, yep.
Tanked.
And not knowing if the bar was even going to get open at that point.
How did you move through that moment to like say, okay, you know what? Screw this. I'm coming back. I'm not giving up.
I don't know what it was. I always use the quote from Finding Nemo with Dory swimming and just keep swimming, just keep swimming. I mean, that's what I had to tell myself. And I still, to this day, that's how I'm functioning. A lot of support from my parents. They've been kind of, you know, they're the ones that they hear everything. I'm a pretty open book as it is. So a lot of people hear my story, whether or not, you know, I should be telling it or not. I don't know. But
sometimes that could be really, you know, kind of screw them. If they like it, they don't turn away.
Yeah. Just keep swimming. That's it.
Yeah. Right on. Wow. That's pretty amazing. I could only imagine. So at some point you must have felt, I mean, 4 months ago you opened, there must have been a swing where you said, okay, it's happening.
I think there was a time. So I mentioned like my original loan didn't come through. We had shut down cider production. I had started a WeFunder campaign because I needed money to get this to the point that we could open. Then my loan finally did come through. And that's when I was like, okay, we will open. That is the next kind of milestone that we will get to that point that we open. Right now we're open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
11 to 10 or 12 to midnight on Friday and Saturday.
So let's talk about your ciders.
Yep.
That you're making. And what's on your tap here. And people can go to CC the list online.
Yeah, so we partnered with a digital menu so that our menu is always live online. So if a keg changes, you'll see it within 5 minutes of us changing it.
What is the online app that they would go to?
Tap Hunter. But you can literally just go to our website as well.
And see it there.
Yeah, but if you follow us through Tap Hunter or Twitter or Facebook, every time we change a keg, you get an alert, which has been nice for people because we literally have people chasing the new ciders. So, you know, I'll change it and somebody, oh, I saw you tap this yesterday. I got to get it.
Good.
So we've been using that. We, as I mentioned, my ciders are all dry. No added sulfites, getting juice from Washington, Oregon, in the off season, and then Apple Hill during apple season.
Apple Hill is
on the way to Tahoe. In California.
I'm just geography right now because I'm on the West Coast. So that's to the east of us.
Northeast. Yes.
Which a lot of people don't realize is a big apple production area.
Huge apple country.
Crispin is out there, right?
Used to be. They moved Michigan or something.
Yeah, they moved there. That's recent.
Though. Yeah, in the last year.
Really recent. But yeah, so that's a good source out there. And so these are primarily culinary apples that you're working
with. Dessert culinary apples. Yeah.
Is there primary apple varieties that you work with?
No, I literally, there's generally our blend would be Gala, Fuji, Golden Delicious, Granny, and then there'd be some red in there, which not happy about that, but always happy with the quality of juice that I was getting. Mm-hmm. So now currently like we have our Can't Stop, Won't Stop, which is an original batch that I made that I've had in cold storage from our previous production site. And then we have our straight up Oakland Dry, which right now the one on tap is a custom crush. So thank God for a couple of my friends in the cider industry, when they heard about my story, they're like, we're going to keep you on tap, Dana, at least at your own bar. So like, I can't distribute, but they're making quote unquote my recipe so that we can have Crooked City on tap at Crooked City.
Excellent.
That's been awesome, but it's also been a challenge because it is not my cider. You know, they use similar techniques and they're not.
So let me follow this then. So are you making cider? Is Dana making cider of cider, or you are kind of contract cider
right now? Yep. Right now I personally am not making it. That being said, I have about 400 gallons of cider, 400 or 500 gallons of cider that I have made at my previous site in cold storage. So you can still come here and get Dana made cider, but I would say within the next 6 months, there will be no Dana made cider. It will all be contract.
Okay. So 6 months out from June is, the end to the end of this year.
I think we're definitely going to save though. We're going to save some for CiderCon.
Just keep swimming. Talk about tenacity. A big tip of the glass to Dana Bushhouse and for what she's doing there at Crooked City Cider Tap House. Just keeps on swimming upstream and making it happen for cider. We need more people like that in the world who are just going to just keep on diving in. I love it. And the location is pretty cool too. It's right down the road from where CiderCon is going to be taking place. But even if you're not going to CiderCon and you happen to be like, let's say in San Francisco, you could take the ferry that goes back and forth across the bay, because they'll plop you right in at the Jack London Square. And that is like a terminal area for the ferry. And it's kind of a, you know, up and coming neighborhood scene. And a nice destination, and just taking that boat ride alone is worth the price of the ticket. And then you get to stop on one side in Oakland and go to the Crooked City Cider Tap House. I mean, how cool is that? I just love it when you have this like little like smorgasbord of things to experience that are all surrounding about cider. She's made this a destination. It definitely made Oakland a destination. So again, big tip of the glass to her.
So yes, there is a reason why we drink it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this.
This episode went live on New Year's Day 2020. And if you're like me, you might feel two ways about January. One is like, woohoo, new beginnings, yabba dabba doo. And oh my goodness, I got a long list ahead of me and I'm barely into the new year. So allow me to make it a little bit easy for you. Here are the two reminders from this episode that I'd like you to kind of put in your cap and get to straight away. One is, if you're a commercial maker, submit your cider now to the New York International Cider Competition. You could get the submission form at nyicidercompetition.com. And if you're a commercial maker or a cider enthusiast, you could sign up still now for the early bird special. You could get in before January 6th, which also puts you in running for that cool cider carry case giveaway. So those are two great things to get off your plate. Deal with it now. You know you want to go to CiderCon anyways, which also leads me to a fact that a lot of people don't know. If you are a cider enthusiast, you can go to CiderCon. And there's a lot of folks I know who are going. I'm looking forward to meeting Matt, who is from Oakland, and we've been corresponding. He's been talking about different yeasts that he's trying that do very well with high temperature fermentation. So he's going to be at CiderCon. And a number of folks, also Nathan, my friend Nathan, who lives in Oakland too, who I know as like a beer podcaster, and now he's like way into cider, make some good cider. In fact, he was at Crooked City Cider Tap House when I was recording this episode and brought some of his own cider to share. And I'm so impressed when a beer person gets into cider and is just kicking it out the door. It's awesome. Fantastic. So that's something to think about. If you're an enthusiast, you want to get in on it. There's so much cider to taste. And the more that you taste, the better, because it really does improve your palate and gets you to see the full breadth of what cider has to offer. And then the other thing that I do at this time of year, just to slow it down, is, well, I pour myself a glass, raise my glass high, salute, cheers, ansvekatis, however you want to say it, take a sip, and exhale. Dang. Cider just slows me down and fills me up. Cheers to 2020. Speaking of which, Mr. Quince, can you turn the mics on in the sound booth? I was kind of wondering if you palms have any New Year's resolutions that you'd like to share.
Excuse me, Mr. Quince, I'd like to go first, if you don't mind, because I know that we are going to Normandy, France in February, and I'm looking forward to returning to Domfront.
Me too, Perry Pear, and you know, we do have Philippe the Perry Farmer on the top of the list to make a stop at to pick up
Calvados, I know, Rhea, Calvados straight from the barrel. I'm very looking forward to seeing both Philippe and Marie Claire.
Yes, that's going to be tons of fun. I can't wait to do that. We just totally dug their Calvados. How about you, Medlars?
I'm going to protect the Medlars in the orchard from the porcupines.
Oh, that's a good thing to do. Those porcupines have not found the Medlars yet. And, you know, they really do like to sniff around on everything. Mr. Quince?
I'm looking forward to all the Quince cider that was made in 2019.
Oh, yeah. Quince was a rock star in 2019. So this year, I think there's going to be quite a bit of Quince later on this year to be tasting. And, of course, we have our own batch. Hopefully, fingers crossed, that went well. And we'll also be protecting the Quince in the orchard, too, because I think the porkies did kind of nibble a little bit on the Quince, didn't they?
I'd rather not talk about it.
Fair enough, Mr. Quince. All right, so we got for Perry Pear, the Poiret farmer in Domfront, France. The Medlars are going to protect from the Porkies, Mr. Quince from the Porkies, and we're going to be drinking some Quince cider coming up in 2020, no doubt about that. And for myself, for 2020, I'd like to share that, well, I'm going to take a little bit of a cue from Dana Bushhouse, our guest on this week's podcast number 206 from Crooked City Cider Tap House, and just keep swimming. And hopefully, I'll be swimming with the tide. Oh, yeah, let's do it. This is Rhea Wincoller and the Talking Palms wishing you a
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is. We
like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh, yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We love the orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this. There's a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Da-da-da-dum.
We like palms.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!